Radio. Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Divine.
And we are the Truth Brothers. 818-514-1202 is the number. 818-514-1202.
And as always, you can catch us at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. And truth, of course, is spelled T-R-U-F.
You already know we're standing by Facebook and Twitter for your comments.
Hey.
All right. And that everybody. Terrific voice that you hear is none other than our producer, Supreme Candace.
Yay. Hello, everybody. Back again. How's everybody?
I'm good, man. A decent week. Brother over here, hoarse.
Yeah, y'all got to forgive my voice. I'm getting over a cold. So, no. Yeah, I got to.
Thought you were screaming at the TV or something.
Yeah, no.
Bake
no.
that cake harder. Something like that. Yeah, but.
Yeah, so everybody's week was good?
Yeah, I had a pretty good week, man. Got my motorcycle ready. I'm ready to ride.
Yeah, can't complain about the weather.
Oh, man.
Whew.
It's great outside today.
Man. I know.
In winter.
Right,
in
right.
Winter.
Right.
Right.
Still technically winter, so.
Doesn't that scare you guys a little bit, though?
Not at all.
You know what?
Really?
I'm threatened by these 102-degree days that might happen in summer now.
Right.
Because it's warm now, and Gore is trying to learn us up. So I'm just a little skeptical about these 105-degree summers that's coming.
Right.
And we know how people get when it gets hot outside, so.
Yep.
You will see a lot of cottage this year, this summer.
Yeah, well, until then, I'm going to be breaking out the car, getting it ready, man.
So,
yeah.
Ready?
Yeah, oh, yeah, the vet's ready.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's ready. I just ain't picked a day to take it out yet.
There you go. There's nothing wrong with that, man. You're going to have to race one day on my feet. Anyway, first off, let's get inside what we do. Sure, first off, kick it off with our what's up. Got to say congratulations to my cousin Brandon. She played her basketball day today, and she won. So congratulations to her.
All right.
Good job. You know, her team, the Trinity Wildcats. Got to say what's up to Maya Hawkins, Eric Williams, Raina Summers, Pharaoh Edwards, and Aris Dunlap. They all hit us up, two brothers. And for now on to my boy AD23.
It's big and valuable.
Damn straight.
Yep, very valuable. You'll find out in June. Him and Kentucky beat West Kentucky 81-66 in the opening round of the tournament, and they play Iowa State today at 6:45 Central Time. So you guys tune in. If you into college basketball like I am now because of family that's playing, you know, you're going to watch. It's going to be a good game. So, hopefully they make it to the next round, play Indiana, the team that beat them. They won blemish of their season record. So good luck, you guys. I know you're going to do what you do. MKG, all you guys, y'all do your thing. And for DJ's B-Days, we got Ashley Hall, Tasia Blackman, Ifru Miller, Martez Henderson, my boy Sosa, what's up, man, and Manushka Azard, right?
Yeah. All right.
And that's it for the opening situation we got there.
All right. Here we go with the terrible truth.
This is the terrible truth with your terrible anchors, Ray and Devon.
Greetings and salutations. I had to put my glasses on. Greetings and salutations. Adult store clerk talks would-be robber into filling out a job application.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, did you pass that up?
I saw that. I knew you was going to get it.
And you know I did. I'm Kate Clark. This is what I do. An employee of a DeBerry store that sells erotic merchandise talked to a would-be robber into filling out a job application, and deputies used a document to track down the suspect. Cody Connor, right. 17, of DeBerry, was arrested and charged with armed robbery. The teen told the clerk he needed money for his grandparents to help pay the bills. The clerk, Cheryl Hunter, 32, worked at the store, convinced Connor to put the gun away and talk. During the conversation, Connor said he was down on his luck. Hunter said that there might be a job opening at the store for Connor and to fill out the application. She talked to him about 20 minutes and offered him a job if he would put the gun away. Once the weapon was in his pocket, the woman gave him the application and watched him fill it out. Later, the woman said she had to get a drink from the nearby convenience store. The boy, while the boy left, she called 911.
Okay.
What can you say?
I'm not saying that. Yeah. Put that gun. Why
you don't
hold
have
that
to
gun?
Do this. Put the gun down. Pout this out.
And you're 17. I'm sure that these things come in handy in your life. I know that hand gel works a lot for you right now. So,
wow.
Why don't you go ahead and get
it. So what do you think he put on the application when they said, have you ever been convicted of a felony?
Not yet. That's what he put it. Hopefully not. That was it. Yeah,
wow.
But what can you say to the dude? He was
wow.
And she was dirty. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, she played him. She played him nice.
Oh, you know what? Your grandparents sick. Dying of old age? That's horrible. Look here.
Well, if you shoot me, that's really going to break their heart. Do you really want to do that?
Do you want to send them there early? Oh, they're supposed to go tomorrow anyway. Oh, well, then. It is. Get
wow.
it out your way.
There you go.
Embarrassing.
It is. But
yep. But, again, if anybody out there got any terrible truth stories, feel free to call in 818-514-1202. We'll be happy to let you guest commentate.
No problem.
Yep. Here we go.
Just don't rob our stores.
Chad Henry Christie accused of forcing kids to suck on his boobs.
Yeah, I saw that, and I didn't want to touch
guilty?
That one with nothing. I didn't know. Nope. I'm a little filly about this. I'm a little touchy about this. Yep. Don't like that.
Hastings' dad, Chad Henry Christie, admits to police that he has sexual issues and needs therapy. But when he plays baby animals with his when he plays baby animals
all right.
with kids and forces them to lock lips on his nipples.
Oh my God.
Grab them udders.
Oh my God.
Sex has nothing to do with it, he says.
No,
nothing.
No, this is true. This is
strictly for educational purposes.
Usually, they get the udder all the way in there. Put
I've
your mouth
so
on
so many problems with that.
Nah, I'm going to be the pig.
Let's
y'all
play.
Gonna be my sow.
Yep, let's play Peter and Stewie. It works that way. Come on. Wow. Dude.
Either way, he made both children suck on his boobs. He told the Hastings police, and one kid said it was disgusting.
His nipples are hairy.
One of Christie's two kids went to the cops on February 28th with a story about the baby animal gang.
That is make me suck his breath.
Oh, based on what they told the police, the father was invited down to headquarters on March 2nd with a jet with a social worker and a detective. He wasn't under arrest, they told him. We just wanted to ask him a couple of questions.
What?
Such as
they,
why
that's
you
what
have
they said
kids?
To get him down.
Oh, there. Okay. Yeah, I would hope so.
After being forced to give a statement, he could leave at any time. But instead, he spilled the whole beans. Christie admits that when children visit him at his residence, that he sometimes plays baby animals with them.
Random kids?
Whoever comes by.
Who wants to? Go ahead.
Oh, I bet he's a hoot at Halloween.
Yep, go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Trick or treat? I choose trick. Now, y'all get it in. I didn't buy any paydays this year, so I hope everybody's ready.
He and both children suck on his nipples. He started that this occurred multiple times with both children. Christie denies that the children had to do this for a sexual purpose, but admitted that he has both personal sexual issues and needs deep therapy. He faces a possible fine of $10,000, 5 years behind bars if found guilty for mistaking the baby animal gang for a felony.
My thing is, what face do we have when they all like, dude, how could you let a kid play with your man boobs and then next thing you know you turn around and the face you gotta have on give it all do it all, Shia. That's what
that is horrible.
Hurry up, you wanna get the milk, right?
Well, cool heart.
Okay.
It won't come out, yep.
Wow.
Through struggle comes wisdom. Pull harder.
Okay.
Now you learned something. No milk or men. You learned that today, didn't you?
Oh.
Wow.
That is,
threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah.
Like them kids did.
Yeah, the kid told the cop. It was disgusting.
I thought we was just playing the animal game. He's usually the horse. But anyway.
I'm going to get into my story before this really gets bad.
I'm sorry, real quick. 818-514-1202, Truth Brothers Radio.
All right.
And now Candace.
All right.
Yeah, let's see you top that.
Okay, well, man speculates colleague of Satan and threatened to chop off his head.
Well, there you go. That'll do it.
That's how you kill the devil.
No, man. That's what the associate threatened to do to him.
Chop off his head?
Right.
Yes.
Oh, Manita.
And this
Marie
wasn't
Antoinette
the devil. This was the devil's personal assistant.
Okay.
No,
okay.
You said it. It said a colleague. That's what I'm just saying.
Right. Okay. I had to do it. Yeah. Okay.
A bicycle rider in a wide-brimmed straw hat who may have been working with the devil held a big knife and threatened to chop off another man's bleeping head. That's what a 74-year-old man told police.
Yes, sir.
Happened on Friday
27. I'm sorry. Yep.
Them hybrids are kicking in.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, go ahead.
That's what a 74-year-old man told police that happened on February 25th. The man said over the past year, folks walk and bicycle, quote-unquote, like vultures, around his block without any obvious destination. He said they dislike him because, among other things, quote unquote, he did not party. Whatever that means.
He's 70 years old. Party days
like
are old.
Partying is going to the bathroom for him. That's his new. Yep. Up.
Partying
poop party.
My pants, right?
Yep.
It's quote unquote. We can also quote him by saying it's like a dog with his tail up. When the dog's tail is up, he's okay. But if he puts his tail between his legs, then another dog will come out of nowhere.
What?
70.
Okay.
Wow.
74.
Wow.
It wasn't immediately clear what that statement meant. The 74-year-old man told police a man on a bicycle rode toward him as he walked to mail a letter. The bicyclist sported dark clothes, a wide-brimmed straw hat, and a quote-unquote nasty coat. I'll chop your mother bleeping head off. The bicyclist is quoted as saying as he held a big machete knife.
Yep. Let me smell your feet.
Oh, man. That man.
All right. Whatever. Yeah, that is just plain.
He been mixing his Aussie medicine with them blue pills, and he's all confused.
Now he Aussie blue.
Yeah. He is.
Zimas, man, that's what it is.
He said the dude on the I'll cut you bleeping. The dude probably said, "Hey, nice day, old man." That's what he heard.
He helps her. Oh,
you're not gonna chop my head off.
You got something else? Go come over here. That dude, they are out here.
Wow,
they are out here.
The man speculated that the bicyclist, quote unquote, had to be working with the devil to get him in trouble.
Riding that fancy two wheel contraption. Riding that fancy two-wheel contraption.
Them newfangled bikes, but both the wheels are the same size.
Yep.
Look, working with the devil is not to be confused with, quote, running with the devil from the Van Halen's 1978 self-titled debut album.
Well, all right.
Or with the 1968 cult classic film She-Devil on Wheels about a female motorcyclist gang, or with Symphony for the Devil from the Rolling Stones Beggar's Banquet album, which was released same year as She-Devil. Meanwhile, the 74-year-old man said he used to laugh about the antics of people in the neighborhood, but no longer believe their shenanigans.
I'm not
are
putting
amusing.
Up with none of your heathenism. Let's do it.
All work for the devil.
He went to the crib, got him some shoe black, put it on his eyes, came right back out like it's time. He went Rambo. All right, I'm sorry.
But then check this out. He didn't think the bicyclist would have lopped his head off and said the man never got off his bike.
Of course not. Because in the real world, the dude went to Subway where he was headed to in the first place.
There was no further mention of why the 74-year-old man theorized the bicyclist was Satan's coworker. And basically, the police did not determine that crime committed.
Because hell has benefits now. They offering benefits in hell.
Wow.
Man, well, we're going to go ahead and move on to our first break, and we will come back with more Terrible Truth stories afterward.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Yo, word up. Get from out my face before you get bust quickly. The hip hop, the hippie. I'll be fit in a minute because I'm gifted like December 25th. And let me flip. I'm all knowing. Lyrics and syllables thrown. Even when it's snowing, I'm party going. Free flowing and stomping. Never tiptoeing. Overthrowing a car, big old bronze. I got more styles than the planet got women. I got as many rhymes as many styles of women. Don't let me come out on that ass. Until I'm afflicted, acting ill and fixing, picking the victim at random, slamming them, rocking to the station.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I'm hungry for something different.
Zebra Bar. Get the fever. It's the candy bar that's fun to try. It's half smooth white milk chocolate, and the other half is deep, dark chocolate.
Wow, it's enormous.
How about cream filling?
That too. Put it in your mouth.
Yes.
Whichever side you crave, pick up a Zebra Bar and let the chocolate melt in your mouth.
Truth Brothers Radio.
You and I see why. You and I see why. That's a unity. You and I see why. The black man from it.
Who you calling the
bitch? You and I see why. We gotta let him know. You and I see why. That's
come on. Here we go.
You and I see why. We gotta let him know.
Black woman.
You ain't a bitch. You're a hoe. Here we go.
Truth Brothers. Truth Brothers Radio. And we're back. And you know what? Yeah, I think my man was taking them zebra bars and rubbing them on his chest. Talking about, come on, kitties.
That's
come on.
We playing fancy. Zebra today.
Baby animals.
Yep.
Okay, can we please get off of that? That's just nasty.
Oh, my God.
That is horrible.
I it's mean, terrible.
But hey, whatever. I guess all the kids had to eat the hair.
Hey, man.
oh, can't call care.
Father forced his son to wear a sign about his failing grades. A Florida dad punishing his son for poor grades on his report card. a Daily Mail reported that during the seventh grade student spring break, he had to stand on the corner of a busy Miami intersection wearing a poster that told drivers about his grades. I don't like it, but I know that it was my fault that I got to this point. He told the local news. The son told the local news. The Florida father is trying to punish his son for his failing grades by using peer pressure. Michael Bell Sr. was upset with the fact that his son came home with three F's on his report card, so came up with an unusual way to teach the self-proclaimed class clown a lesson. Throughout his spring break the past week, Michael Bell Jr. had to stand on the corner of a busy intersection, like we said, in Miami, wearing the poster as passersby came through to see about his bad grades.
Hey, I like it. It sounds like a good idea.
I like it, too,
yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. Well, I don't see the problem with it. Hey, the guy, kids acting crazy, not doing it. He's a self-proclaimed class clown.
Right. That means he told his dad, I don't need these F's because I'm a class clown.
Pops, your thing is you're out of sync with the world right now. Pops.
Right,
you don't know
right. Great thing, what's happening?
Yeah, jerk jeans are in now. Jerk jeans are in now.
I think it's great.
Yeah,
I think
no
it's
doubt. I mean,
me some ideas.
since everybody's so up on you can't beat your kids no more and blah blah blah. No, all right, fine. You say I'll let these now it's. It's going to be to a point where that's a form of child abuse. So now you're saying discipline the kid altogether is wrong. That's what I'm saying. But whatever.
Yeah, hey, man. More power to him.
I think
he's doing the right thing.
An uppercut.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm just saying, I've always been a fan of uppercutting your kid. I've always
been a fan
of just right under the chin to that point that the teeth click and that flash happens. I've always been a fan because it happened to me.
Yeah,
I'm all right. Besides this twitch, I'm good.
It's nothing like, stepping off in a kid's behind. Like, hey, I'm
well,
all
see,
for that.
Yeah,
nope.
You know. I haven't nope, got to that, that point yet. I haven't
that,
got
yeah,
to the
that's
point yet.
Yeah, yours are still cute.
Yeah, man, mine, yeah.
You're the law.
I mean, all I got is a pop on the hand. I mean, that's all I can
right.
do right now. I mean, he's not big enough for the uppercut yet. But
No, oh, I feel it coming. When you're right, when they get big enough to wait, hey, did you do the dishes? No, why not? Because I didn't get to it yet.
Yeah.
Flash
as
a
you
light.
Can see, yeah, teeth click, flash a light.
There you go.
My thing is, though, y'all got girls. Real quick, I just want to know, I need some help from y'all, too, right now. Y'all have girls. Now, I can't see myself popping my girl, my daughter. I haven't popped her hand yet at all. Like, that's crazy. I can't see myself doing it.
Right.
But, Candace, I mean, you have a daughter, so it's easier for you. I mean, it's that lady-on-lady love. But
yeah.
Yeah, see, right. That's, but you.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Hey, that's where I'm at. Hey.
It's hard for me to do that, man.
I know. I'm just playing.
In her hands, though. Like,
yeah.
I'm literal playing. Yeah. Like, she can get away with any. Daddy, I shot these guys up. I'll take the rap. Go ahead. Go home. Lay down. Just lay down in your bed. When they get here, I say
yep.
I did it. Like.
Yep. Nope. Squats, push-ups, works just fine.
Okay.
When you can't, yeah. When they, because, you know, when they, like you say, when you reach that certain age, nah, it ain't no, I can't snatch you up.
No, none of that.
Right.
So,
hey, guess what? Hold these books on one leg. You'll learn.
Yep.
You'll learn. Hold these books on one leg.
Yeah.
And I bet you you'll clean your room.
You don't
want to
be common sense smart. You'll be physically smart.
Right. Exactly.
Well,
I mean, I had a wheel. I called it the wheel of punishment.
Right.
Spin the wheel. Let's see what you get. Might just get go to your room.
Get that stern talking to.
Right. You might get the stern talking to. You might hit the trifecta and get all three.
Get that combo pack. Well, look at what you done landed
right.
on. Somebody's got the number seven with a twist.
There you go.
But I don't know, man. That's just something that I haven't got to that point yet, so I know it's coming. I'm just
right. With my daughter,
prolonged.
It was so cute when she was little because all I had to do was just raise my voice a little bit, and
it works now.
I just had to say her name in that.
And
if she
break down,
right?
Yeah, I got that.
No more. Yeah.
I got that now. But see, the thing is, I got it. But the thing is, when she breaks down and cries, be like, "Oh no, please, just come here. Don't look like that." Like you know, because
she works.
She'll jump, and you can see her really like body jump out of itself. Like no. And I'm like, oh damn, I scared her too hard. But
she working.
I mean, I know.
What about your son?
Oh, every day. I just, hey, why would you? Why are you? And then give me your neck. And you know, like that.
See,
That's how it is. I mean, I could do that, you know. But I can't, cause you know, I know we're getting in there, but
no,
I grab my I can't grab my, like, I can't wrestle with my daughter. I wrestle with my son, and we horse play, whatever you want to call it, and wrestle and watch wrestling and do all that stuff. But I can't do that with her. With her, it's just, I mean, she gets me. She, daddy, I want to play with the teacups and all that stuff. So,
right.
I, you know, I sit down and tea queen, all that stuff.
Yeah, my daughter wanted to do that, have a tea party.
Yeah.
I only got invited one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she was little, this was like, I told, she's like Moesha and all of that. So remember when Usher was on Moesha?
Yeah.
That's the first time she ever saw Usher. So therefore, now she likes Crusher. That's what she would call him. She was only four. Crusher. And she turned him into her imaginary friend.
Okay.
So I came in the room. She's sitting there at the table with some animals. And then one of the chairs was empty. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? She's like, I'm just having some people over.
Right.
And I'm like, and who's that? Oh, Crusher's sitting there. I say, that's Crusher. She's like, yeah. So I jumped on the chair and I started beating the chair. So I'm like, you ain't allowed in my daughter's room without me.
Yep. And she, no, daddy.
Oh, she
please,
had a,
you're
oh,
killing
she
Crusher.
Had a fit. She had a fit.
That's you, man. That is
yeah,
all.
I mean like that.
Whatever. But yeah, kids are great.
But yeah, think so.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Check this out. Whitney Houston had secret affair with Jermaine Jackson.
Not caramel butter.
Caramel
butter.
That's what he's affectionately known by the Truth Brothers.
That's right.
If you look at his hair, it looks like caramel butter.
Hold on. Whitney Houston had secret affair with caramel butter.
Lester is.
What?
tragic Whitney Houston had a secret affair with Michael Jackson's brother, Jermaine. The romance explains why the 56-year-old Jermaine, a married man at the time, was so distraught by the pop diva's Houston death.
Okay, so
in the Los Angeles hotel room last
month. So what you're telling me is he can't be a singer who knows the girl and been cool with her and been like, oh, man, that's crazy. I feel like shedding a tear.
I don't know.
Ray J show. Anyway, go ahead. Go ahead, man.
A friend of both singers confirmed the relationship, saying her death has devastated Jermaine because of the history between them. No one understood the scale of his grief because they didn't know what they shared. Houston's number one hit, Saving All My Love for You, echoed the story of her secret relationship with the Jackson 5.
Oh, my God. Come on. Are you?
Jermaine
this is not
Jackson.
News. Caramel butter. Dun, dun, dun. All right, go ahead.
Yep. The woman is having a romance with a married man, as Jermaine Jackson was at the time, and you know the video. But they saying that's supposed to be for him. Houston even hired a Jermaine Jackson lookalike for the song's video. I don't recall that. It features a Romeo's wife keeping an eagle eye on the mistress. I guess.
Anyway,
I guess 818-514-1202
Like, yeah, hey, why are we still
was Nippy getting greased up by caramel butter? Call in and let us know. What do you think? Hey,
who
that's
cares?
Better than Ray J.
Who cares?
No one cares.
Nope, dude. That's like your boy, the Ruffles Van Exel. You know, that's the dude that got caught snapping the picture. That's his name, Ruffles.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
you talking about Sissy found the person who took the casket picture.
Yeah, his name was
Ruffles.
Ruffles Van Exel.
Ruffles.
Yeah, like Chip, like great old bag of Ruffles.
Oh, God.
His name
that
is
a mess.
And he was the dude that got called snapping.
Yeah, my name's Ruffles.
Yeah. Don't get roughed up. Things can get rough over here. How you doing?
Ruffles.
But... But,
I wouldn't name a dog Ruffles.
But whatever. That got something to do with him.
All right.
My thing is, dude got caught snapping the picture or whatever,
right.
And you know, whatever. But Sissy told the dude, hey, all that money you got for that picture, give it to charity or I'm going to have people come at you.
She got people.
That's what she told him.
She got people.
I don't know. Well, she might be like the Verizon man. He got people behind him, so maybe Sissy got people behind her.
Wow.
Yeah, that whole family,
Ruffles.
Man. Bobby Christina doing the whatever brothers.
Yeah.
The adopted
son. Did you hear
son?
About that? That
yeah,
that
I did
Bobby
hear about
Christina
that.
Is getting it in with the adopted.
The dude they found behind Walmart.
Right.
That's
the homeless son. The homeless kid.
Who's doing a... Boy, did he win.
Yeah. He hit up twice.
That is,
wow.
Yeah, it's just that's life. Whatever. Houston's are going down, man. It's crazy.
Yeah,
whatever.
Don't forget, this portion of Truth Brothers is being brought to you by Bobby Christina's Dad Loans. Need some green, see a brown. Dial 1-800, Sissy said no.
And it's brought to you by Pee Wee Herman's House of Poetry. Chicken so good you wouldn't mind choking on it.
That is.
Hey.
Where do we find our sponsor?
Hey, they pay the bills and I'm thankful for them.
Yeah.
Sissy gave us money.
Yep. Yeah. Y'all put my grandbaby out there. Here's a couple dollars. Literally a couple dollars. Keeps Bobby back. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
All right, I got another story since we're talking about food here and chicken and whatnot. Let's talk about pinto beans. Man killed buried under a 20-foot mound of pinto beans.
He got pintoed down?
Man.
Pintoed down by the beans.
A 56-year-old man was killed on Thursday when he was buried under a 20-foot mound of pinto beans at a warehouse in Colorado. Raymond Segura Jr. was pronounced dead at the Brush, Colorado facility of Kelly Bean Company after efforts to reach him alive were unsuccessful.
R. Kelly Bean.
We moved several tons of beans to get to him, Martin said. Martin, who was the sheriff of Morgan County, where the facility is located, said emergency personnel were summoned to the site at 11:30 a.m. on reports of a worker trapped in a pile of loose pinto beans.
Loose.
Martin
said, I did not know the
pinto
factory was so dangerous.
Yeah, who knew?
No, don't hit the lever thing. You killed John.
How do you tell his family that?
Your son, your man died of the beans, ma'am. Yes. It's been another pinto. Another pinto death today.
Oh,
this puts us up to three.
He almost got moved over to the Black Eyed Peas.
He was on his way.
Now check this out. Reports of a worker trapped in a pile of loose pinto beans. I misread that. Martin said dozens of rescue workers and even four inmates from the county jail spent an hour digging through.
Eating.
Get some volunteers.
Hey, y'all.
Right. There's no way we can do this by ourselves. We need jail guys over here. Get them. Find Dylan. He's in there.
By the time they found him, he was already dead. So.
Swallowed enough beans.
Oh, yeah. He tried to eat his way out.
And that's when his dad, that dude that liked to play the animal game, came over there. Well, give him this.
Got to be a bulky one.
But we got to take a real quick break. I'm going to eat some beans, and we'll be back with more Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio. Truth Brothers Radio.
Don't you put it in your mouth. Don't you put it in your mouth. Don't you stuff it in your face. Don't stuff it in your face. Though it might look good to eat. Though it might look good to eat. And it might look good to taste. And it might look good to taste. You could get sick. Yuck. Real quick. Yuck. Real sick. Real. Yuck. Don't you put it in your mouth. Tell you ask someone you love. That's right, sis. If it's okay to eat. If it's okay to eat. Like a muffin or a beet.
Like a muffin or a beet.
If you don't know just what it is. Remember, boys and girls.
Don't put it in your mouth. Yeah.
Always ask someone you love before you put anything in your mouth.
A message from the Sandusky's Boys Club, horsing around with kids for over 20 years.
Truth Brothers Radio. Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio, we're back. And
and that commercial was the safety video at the pinto factory.
Yep, don't you put them in your mouth. Uh-uh. Unless they're black eyes. Don't stuff them beans in your face. Again, can't tell that father over there horse playing with them kids that. Don't you put, hey, I'm someone you love. I'm someone you love. Yeah, it's okay. Dad boobs are better. All that jealousy.
That's not a muffin over or
here.
A peach.
Yep. Don't have to be. You want to eat, don't you? Well, don't you?
Lots of gravy.
Don't you put it in your mouth. Unless you ask somebody, see, they said it right there. Ask someone you love. You love your dad, right?
Oh, dear. 818.
Well, you going to love him.
514-1202.
Think I took that extra long bath for you not to do that? All right. My think I'm sitting in there oiling up for nothing? Dad wants good feeling.
Okay, you guys.
We are going there. We are going there. Okay, come on. We got to do a show. Oh. Truth Brothers Radio.
Oh, my God. I'm right. Sorry.
Speaking of putting stuff in your mouth.
No.
Father arrested for biting off piece of a coach ear. Yeah. Timothy Forbes became enraged after his son's team lost a basketball game and proceeded to fight the child's coach and bite off a piece of the man's ear. The man was taken to the hospital and rushed into surgery where the part of the ear that was bitten off had to be reattached. Timothy Forbes attempted to leave the gym when the authorities arrived but turned himself in later on that Monday. We got a caller coming in. Caller, what's your name?
This is Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hi,
you guys. Hey, Candace.
Hey, dear, how's it going?
Oh, I'm sitting here listening to you guys, and I kept getting interrupted by phone calls, so I kind of missed half of it. But I just wanted to call in and say you guys are doing a wonderful job, and it's always a pleasure to be able to sit here and listen to you all.
Oh, well, thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. So
yeah,
good.
You didn't miss much. They got an opening at the Pinto Bean Factory.
Right. But they transferring everybody over there to the Black Eye and Pork section. Black Eye and Pork and Bean section.
Pork
so,
head, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know why I pressed one.
Yeah, it happens. For those who don't know, this is Tony Breedlove from Hot Topic Talk Radio, another blog talk personality. You guys need to really tune in to her. She has a really, really, really great show.
Great soul.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not as funny as you guys. I got to get me some comedy going on my show.
Two brothers are down for bookings.
I tell you what. And yeah, I'm going to make sure Yvonne tries to clear some time for you guys.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. You make sure she listens to the show first.
Yeah, again. Like we had, yeah, got to forewarn her.
Yes.
But
you guys are doing a great job, and I really enjoy the show. And whenever I see that you guys are, you know, posting your promotion on Facebook, I'm trying to, you know, reshare it and forward it because I think that a lot of people should listen in and they would really, really enjoy the show. So I'm doing what I can.
Hey, we appreciate
thank
that.
You.
And let your people know, too, we're moving to Monday starting April 2nd. So,
are you?
We're moving to Monday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Monday, April 2nd.
Okay, I'll be making sure to keep that on my calendar. What's the reason for the move? I like you guys on Saturdays.
Yeah, the police.
But yeah, I guess you're probably the only one that likes us on Saturdays.
Yeah,
I guess
we were told we caused too much of a ruckus
on
Saturday.
Yeah, we throw Project X parties on Saturdays, and something's wrong with that. People tend to just get crazy after we. The Truth Brothers are off the air. Drive my car to the pool. Like, that's what happened. So they said, he had to go outside with a bullhorn and say, what do you want? And they all said, Mondays. And then
that's
we just
right.
walked back in the house and say, it's happening. You got to do it for the people.
In that order.
I heard that. Well, I'm going to go ahead and press one, and I'm just going to keep listening in.
Enjoy the rest of the show. Be sure to tune in for our second hour conversation.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, because that's the one that I really want to get in on.
Oh, good, good, cool. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks,
Tony.
Okay,
thanks.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we got another.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's cool. I love when Tony calls in. She's good people.
Yes, she is. You ready for yours?
Oh,
right?
Yeah, you ready?
Come on with it.
Man jailed after apparent inappropriate yanking.
Oh, really?
All right, it's my type party.
A 38-year-old man accused of yanking on his member by a neighbor got arrested.
Wait a minute.
St. Lucie.
Hold on. Run it back because I think I heard that wrong.
A 38-year-old man accused of yanking on his member.
Okay.
Not a club member.
Right. I got that part.
Neighbor got arrested.
By a neighbor.
Yeah, that's right.
He yanked on his member by a neighbor.
No. The neighbor called him.
Oh, okay. I thought he was next up.
Right. No.
What's going on, bro? Let me give him my arm here.
The The police say he didn't follow orders to remove his hands from his pocket.
Oh.
As the police spoke to him.
He was sitting in front of him like, sir, could you stop your shaking? No, sir. Can't do that. I'm there.
Gotta go blue. Step back. I don't want to touch my hand. Don't touch it.
Put your hands up. Just give me 3 more minutes. I got you.
Look, here, you put your own handcuffs on.
Yeah, you know what? Take these. You sprinkle them. Yeah, just lock yourself up. Matter of fact, just,
your ass.
Yeah, right. Just go. You don't want him to get. That'll cause him to shake a little more. He has been backed up. It's oozing out his zipper. But go ahead.
The 51-year-old neighbor told police that he was in the backyard of his home when he saw the man with dark pants and a white shirt yanking on himself.
I feel like busting loose.
It's my yard. He looked him in the face, and it's my yard.
Yes, he did. He said he looked at the man and then looked at him again, and he continued yanking.
I'm watering my flowers.
So the 51-year-old man started to scream at him, and he went inside his house.
What? Okay, go ahead, finish, because I got questions. Many.
Yeah. I asked if he was disturbed by the male yanking. The police asked if he was disturbed by the male yanking. He stated that, yes, he was disturbed by the male due to the fact that his wife and children was outside at the time. So, yes, I'm disturbed.
Yeah. My wife over there slobbing and looking over there. Kids ain't looking, but that ain't the point.
So the police got the description. And they went to the man's house, and he denied being on his back porch and said that he was inside and that the neighbor was lying.
So let me get this straight. He got a description of what? What did he get a description?
No, the 51-year-old gave him the description
of what?
They go over, of him, his face.
Oh, okay, cool.
To talk to him, and he says he's been in the house the whole time, which would have been cool, but the police investigators say that the man kept putting his hands in his pocket. So the police said, I advise you to take your hands out of your pockets.
Well, I advise you to look at this.
That's right. The man stated, I can do whatever I want. Put his hands in his pocket.
Oh, my God.
I can do whatever I want. These are mine. This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine.
I have the right to bear arms.
Bare arms, hairy palms,
that's right,
knuckle children.
And he said, so when is pocket pool a crime?
There's a table in my pants, and I'm looking on a bank shot.
That is awful.
818-514-1202.
Dude, so they just let you.
Oh, yeah.
It was cool to play with you.
In the backyard, looking at the neighbor's barbecue.
And that's when that guy showed up playing animal babies again. Like, I knew it. I heard my name from over the... This dude.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, sometimes.
How you doing, Miss Johnson?
That's awesome.
Yep, he looking at dude like, what are you doing? I was concentrating till you broke it. I was trying to get the count up so I know how many I got before something happened. That's called the count. They call it that.
That's what they call it.
It's called the count. No joke.
The counting game.
Yeah, you count. What? You know. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna get it ready. I'm gonna go ahead.
You count how many? Can I say strokes? You count how many strokes? Because
it's like golf.
Yeah. Okay. Bam. All right. You count how many strokes you do before you hit the hole.
Oh.
And then that way you know you have a count in your head, so whenever you move to a lady, you know. All right. I'm at 13. I got 4 left before something happens. So you gotta figure out. You know, it's called the count. No joke. They call it. I got 13. All right. Either, you know. Because, you know, I mean, even if you get to 15, you feel that tingle. So, hence and therefore, you know that 16, 17, and then shake.
I got you.
Yeah, it's called the count.
So, that's what he was doing.
Okay, so consistently, each and every time.
You know you're around that frame. You're around that frame, like if you were at the you know, somewhere
so,
in between
all right,
20
right in that
and,
area.
And,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at 13
between 17 and 25 could be trouble.
I would say 17 to 20, because if you got 17 and you go on an extra 8, I mean, not even 8, yeah. Extra
I mean,
eight.
How popular is this counting game? I mean,
well, I was going on when I was 10, so I don't know. I don't. I mean, okay. But when I was 10, I wasn't like, all right, 34, yes, I'm a winner. I wasn't saying that. I was just like, you know, it teaches you how to work your count in.
I got you.
Okay, never heard.
Every dude has a count.
Oh.
I mean, you have one. You don't know but you have one. On your good days, you got a high count. On your bad days, you got a low count. It's like blood cells.
Well,
I guess.
Wouldn't that be the other way around? On your good days, you would have a low count?
No.
On your good
count.
Days, you got a high
low
count.
Get your
good
fire.
Day, a good day. You
right.
Know, okay.
Nobody wants a low count.
Yeah.
Low count.
On a good day, you
get
could.
Fire.
A good day, I get
okay.
you a raise at the
yeah,
job.
They're not
I guess
counting
it's all
fishes.
In how you,
no, they're not counting the fishies.
No.
They're counting...
The worms.
No.
They're counting the
stroke.
Counting
right.
The,
right. They're counting the fuse to the dynamite.
I got you.
Before
you.
It,
right.
Yeah, they count how, many, how much
countdown.
Time you
got.
You. Yeah.
So,
the
right.
Spaceship.
You don't want a low count because
yeah.
You'll get fired.
Good day. You can get about 80 in. Good day.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Pump master.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just right. Saying. On a good day, yeah, you're about 80. You're cool.
How do we get on that?
Because dude broke right. His count, and he was like, man, I got my wife coming through next week, and I
got
to figure out a count.
Ready.
Nah. So I know that if I'm low count, I don't, whatever, that's another subject, another day. But
yeah.
I'm just,
okay.
Just, I don't know. Everybody it's can.
All good.
Can. I thought ladies had some form of a count. I thought they knew. I thought,
no,
what do
I
they
don't.
Got a count for?
No, I mean,
right.
I just, like, they got a time frame
is,
of when they.
The world is their oyster. They can.
No, because there's too many variables.
Say the world is their pearl?
Yeah.
I got you.
They, right. Yeah.
I think
don't.
I can answer on
this. Yeah, she got it.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think I can speak.
Lady
it's,
part.
It's too many variables. You know, I mean,
ooh, this
if,
is going bad.
If we use the golf analogy, I mean, just like you have different clubs. That do different
ooh,
strokes. You know?
Ooh, that was nice. That was
yeah.
Nice. Don't want a putter when you're going to long green.
There,
I got you.
There you go.
You can't see off with a putter.
You need a long drive. You
there you go.
You
see.
Need a driver.
And get right. See, but
shot putt.
You, but they're the know. Green. We the ones standing at the tee.
Yeah. Like yep, cover this.
Yep.
Cover that. Yep. No miniature golf here.
Yeah.
I didn't. I well, whatever.
Chip at it until you can.
But
driving.
What? Okay, using golf.
Yeah. Well,
what about
the? We just gonna keep walking this tightrope, ain't we? Go ahead.
No, we gotta use golf. Okay, using the golf analogy, ladies, if you're listening, 818-514-1202. How come guys with putters still can get the hole in one? Bam! I did it up top to me.
I guess that would depend on.
Mm-hmm. Be careful.
mm-hmm. The receptacle in which the hole goes into. I mean, the ball
the,
goes into.
The ball in the cup.
Here we go.
Yeah, the golf ball.
No, because it's
and
not about the putter. It's about the golfer.
Mm.
No, it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both.
So what if he investigates?
Speaking as a woman, I'm saying it's a little
okay.
Bit
okay,
whatever.
But
all
we, okay,
saying,
let me ask
wait,
a question.
All we're saying is Tiger Woods don't
but
win every tournament.
The bottom line is we're looking for the eagle.
Okay,
we
now let me ask you this. What about when the guys, before they shoot the putter, they investigate the green? Like, they got to see how long
okay,
the putt. Now. So, here, I'm trying to use the golf, but we are. Okay, so I'm saying, like, how is that, does that count for any, if you know the putter, if the hole-in-one person thing, whatever, knows that, hey,
you know the course that you're playing.
Yeah, if the guy doesn't know the course.
And he's using a putter?
This is his first time on the course.
He's at Pebble Beach, and he's never been there before.
And his bags got left. All he's got is a putter.
Well, there's only one way to find out. You got to go on the green and you know, and test the wind and the air and the soil and just kind of see where it goes.
Oh well,
that's the only way you can really do it.
On that note, man,
we're at a wall.
Because ladies know more than we do. I feel like we put in the most work.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Well, you have in order to play golf.
Here we go.
You got to have the gloves. That's
here
the only way this thing works.
Okay.
You gotta.
What about lady golfers?
That's right. Ladies can play golf.
Yeah.
And they're usually less.
No.
Yeah.
Here we go.
But, I mean, all in all, I'm saying, like, okay, why? Whatever. It frustrates me sometimes. I ain't going to lie. Why am I putting in all the work?
Right.
Why am I?
Because you're the one that really wants
hey,
it.
Hey, I was invited okay.
So women don't want it.
Oh, man.
Oh, I'm not saying that.
I've been invited to Pebble Beach
exactly.
many times.
But instead of using the golfing thing, then, how come it's not incumbent on a woman to put out the fire?
Because men usually start
right.
the
yes,
fire.
Hey.
You all usually stoke the fire and make the fire possible.
Oh, wait a
no,
minute.
No,
if you
and it's already been known that women keep a fire way more than a dude. A dude just obvious with
it. I was told that
cool is better than ours.
I heard that we think about golf at least seven times a minute or something like that.
Yeah,
ever.
My point exactly. I mean.
But no. I've heard from open women golfers that I like playing golf. I think about golf just as much as you do.
That's right.
I'm a recreational golfer. I mean, I don't.
Yeah okay.
Sure.
I'm just saying. So you can just take it or leave it. Whatever.
Well,
don't happen today.
I'll
get to play today.
But, you know, some people like to play golf a lot more often
than others. I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah. If you're a professional golfer.
Depends on
how good you are at the sport.
Right.
It depends on the course and the club.
How do you get good? Practice, practice, practice.
Yeah.
We have really did a great job.
Yes,
we did.
We have done this dance. We have done this dance.
It has been pretty good.
Listeners, how do you feel about golf? 818-514-1206.
Bunch of dudes like golf.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Golf. Now, we talking about, but anyway, I got real curious about how ladies feel about that, about sports, golf in particular. I'm curious on how
sports.
If you love sports, not you per se, but ladies, if you're listening, if you love golf, why do you act like you don't like golf when you love golf?
Because it's a matter of not looking like you're a compulsive golfer.
It
you know
don't
I mean?
Matter. It's, it
right.
really don't matter.
If you want to be good at your craft, you practice.
Well, I'm just saying, you know,
you don't want the reputation of being a great golfer.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't want to necessarily.
You don't want to be the person that goes to every golf course.
Exactly.
Right.
You don't want to have to.
But we're not saying you have to go to every course. You just go to your favorite course.
Well, how do you know
you're
great if you only stay on one course? I mean, you have to come outside of your realm.
Because once a guy commits to Pebble Beach, he has to stay on Pebble Beach.
Okay.
But how does he know he's great at Pebble Beach?
Right, if that's the only place that
the only reason I say this is, I'm like, okay, you go to Pebble Beach, you like, oh, I love golfing here at Pebble Beach, it's wonderful. Yeah, I always kill at Pebble Beach. But you're great at Pebble Beach only.
Right.
But the second you go to the Masters,
you
it's
go
like
to Augusta.
Yeah, you go to Augusta and you just he's okay, but what's his name? He's been killing here for years.
Right.
So that's how do you know you're great at Pebble Beach?
Well, that's when a good golfer knows his equipment and you know how to
you might not know the fairway, you might not know the course.
Until Tiger got his window shot out, whatever. He didn't worry about the course.
Tiger never had a problem at the course or off it, so whatever.
Until he lost his cool.
Now he going to golf rehab.
Right.
Stupid.
Well, I still say it depends on the course itself, because some courses have a whole lot of obstacles, things that you have to overcome.
Yeah, a lot of trees in the way. A
lot of trees, cliffs, bumps.
Don't want to hit that.
Here we go.
Don't want to hit
that. I got it ready. It's on
sand
standby.
Dome,
yep.
You know?
Don't want to hit that sand dome. It's drying now.
Chip it out.
I need a different club. I need. But anyway,
that's
just,
right.
I was just curious about that. I'm glad we touched on that because.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty decent golfer. I just wanted to put that out there. I'm a good golfer.
Yeah. Yeah. Practice, and I love to practice.
Hey, the only way you get good.
That's right. That's right.
You ever
did a particular course you don't like?
Yeah, it's always been courses I couldn't stand. I just can't. But let me ask you this: have you ever watched those golf videos about how to golf? How to golf videos?
No.
Have you ever? No?
I didn't know they had how to.
Oh, they have how to.
How to for everything.
Yeah, you know what I mean about how to golf video. Have you ever sat back and watched another golf tournament on TV?
Oh, okay.
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah, you always got to size up the competition.
I thought you were saying how to do something that's natural, but
right.
No.
They got an Indian book about golfing that's real great. It's a very ancient book. Written by the Indians.
Tantric.
It's tantric golfing, right.
Oh, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, you're dumb. Oh, man, this is great. I didn't even know we could do this. And we did it without having to be
warm.
There
you go.
I just say, I watch a lot of golf movies.
Hey.
Yeah. Legend of Beggar Vance is my favorite. That's my favorite.
There you go. But, is there a course you don't? What kind of course you don't like? Oh, yeah, well.
I don't like the huge courses.
I can't necessarily speak on the course.
She speaks on the golf club.
I can speak on the equipment.
Whatever. What kind of, okay, well.
I like the 9-iron.
Fine, right.
Yeah. There it is, boy. Me, myself, I'm not a big course kind of guy. I don't like the course with a lot of
rolling hills and divots.
I like hills. I like the hills on the course. It helps me when I tee off and helps the ball roll into the cup. That's great. But sometimes they got the big hill that just you got to hit it so far up the hill that it's you can't even see past it.
Right.
So yeah, there we go.
No, I hate the flat courses and the small. I hate small flat courses.
But me,
can't stand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like golfing in the Midwest at all.
I'm a back nine type of guy.
I'm a Teton.
I don't like the front nine. Yeah. I like the back nine.
Yeah.
That is it.
I cover the whole course.
You cover
the whole course.
I'm a back nine type of dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the easiest way to get to the victory.
You take it all the way to the house.
We got a comment from one of our listeners from the Chemical Wedding of Mia Hawkins. It's not the club. It's about the golfer and his swing.
There you go.
Woo! I hate you, baby. I see you on that.
It's some dudes who left their bags at the airport and only got a putter, but they seem to get by.
That's what I'm saying.
There's people who do. Hey.
But then again, if you might not be invited to that course, even if you did an okay job. Yeah, dude who brings his equipment will always get invited back.
Sometimes someone who's always using a Big Bertha driver is going to get banned from the course all the time.
Really?
Well, that's
sometimes,
true.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be true. Yes.
The dude that tees off the driver, I can tell you.
I can tell you for someone who's had a illegal driver.
Here we go.
I mean, they are usually not welcome back to the course, you know.
Yeah,
because
man, dude,
done,
if you don't know what you're doing, even
you're
with a driver,
course.
Right?
I mean,
all you're doing is making divots. You're just taking chunks out.
Right.
And
you're tearing
at the green.
Right. You're tearing at the green. Right.
Okay. All right.
Right.
Right. And sometimes if you sitting there, you supposed to be golfing on the front nine, and you accidentally slip and go to the back nine, you get banned from that course.
And I partially agree with Mia here. You know, it's not necessarily the club, but it has a lot to do.
Now, I was about to say.
With the type of swing that you make, you know. I'm sure
the swing comes in handy. But the thing is, to me, I figured that we would wind up that sometimes you need the club with the swing.
Yeah. Yep. Sometimes you need the hook shot. Sometimes you know.
Okay.
Have the right thing. You know.
We'll definitely have to touch back on another day.
We better go and get ready to jump into hour two. So in hour two, the topic is going to be: is it okay to be racist? Is there any situations where you feel like it's okay to be racist? And I know a lot of people should have some stories about that.
So
we'll be back on the back nine with True Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Now me love this city school as them a graduate. I study hard and save the party for the holidays. Diplomatic with them diploma and them won't be great. Because them not pick up, no mastic and not perpetrate. And then I love the energies where them a generate. My generation is so special, it will make a change.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately, and with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. If a major factor in dancing like a retard, may cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 in the morning. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy. And it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Tequila!
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. 818-514-1202 is the number to give us a call.
And also, you can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. And truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And we are currently standing by on Facebook and Twitter for your comments.
A question was asked. What about the ladies that bring their own golf clubs?
Yeah.
What about the course that comes with their own golf clubs?
Uh-huh.
Woo.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I
always trying to eliminate the golfer.
Yeah. That was a question that was proposed.
Well.
And we're going to leave that to our resident lady to answer that.
Well,
that's one of the things to keep
it's
the course.
It's not the same.
Up.
I mean, you know, it's not the same. It's like having a like in baseball when they have those mechanical pitchers pitch out the balls to you.
Uh-huh.
But it's not the same as having an experienced
pitcher
golfer. You know,
right.
Come with their own club.
That's course maintenance.
Right. You know, it's.
You still need the human element. It's like mowing the grass.
Right,
oh,
exactly.
Got you.
Because if no one's playing on the course could get run down and bitter.
Yeah, that
get very dry in the sand dune.
Right, and then the stray golfer that comes along and try to play on that course.
No, you need
running into all kind of problems.
Yep.
You need the groundskeeper.
Pass problems.
You need the groundskeeper.
Gotta have yeah,
groundskeeper Willie.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a new sponsor.
Yeah,
anyway.
So now we're going to go ahead and jump into this second hour topic. Is it okay to be racist? Are there any circumstances where you feel like it's okay to be racist? Maybe you felt like if someone says something to you and you want to come back and say something, and instead of getting personal on that person, you're busting on, you know,
the entire race.
Right, because they bust on your entire race instead of you handling that person, you...
Well, I'm sure some would say an eye for an eye, you know. I'm sure some would think that.
Or, you know, even outside of that, because we're going to touch to a lot of subjects, but even outside of that, if you want to say, how do you, you know, about races, about interracial couples? How do people feel about that? And, you know, you see that, do you feel like it's okay?
Interracial adoption.
Right. Anyway, and are you, I'm sorry about that. If you feel that, you know, when you see that couple, is it okay to say, hey, sister, you should be with this dude, or hey, you need to stay with the race over here, and not just black people, white people, Mexicans, Latinos, Puerto Ricans, all of that, you know, just is there ever a chance or a time where you feel like you should or could or it's okay to be racist?
You know what, I'm going to say this. Now, as crazy as it may sound, I'm not necessarily against interracial dating as I am with having interracial kids. Reason why I say that.
I'm sorry, wait a minute.
Let me explain. To date is one thing. Dating, you're kind of trying to feel each other out. But, I mean, you really can't culturally, socially, I think it would be difficult to have a child because they have no real place to identify with. You know what I'm saying?
You don't think Barack Obama identifies with being black?
No, I'm sure he does. But somebody's going to, you know, someone's going to get slighted because I think so. More people see him as being black than recognize him being half white. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. I mean,
this is just my personal
culture
opinion.
And race. It's two different things.
That's true.
You can have,
but
you can walk
come
through
to
both
head,
cultures.
But it comes to a head at some point.
No, you can walk through both. You can walk through both cultures, but Barack Obama's black. That's just a fact of life. He's black, but he walks in both cultures because he's got to share heritage with his mother and her side of the family, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there is.
But he's
wrong.
A black man.
Yes, he is.
And
a black
that's just.
Man.
How it is.
But what
I mean,
I'm saying, take Barack Obama out of this because, number one, he's on a grander scale. He's the president. So he's
yeah,
going to be
I
viewed.
Mean, he wasn't
his views,
all his life.
But he wasn't. But we're talking about him now that he is. I'm speaking for just everyday people. Just, you know, I think a lot of people, I know Mariah Carey went through, you know, issues of not being able to identify with a particular race because she's mixed. You know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, part of that was Mariah Carey and her handlers. Because when she was the big hot pop star, when she first came out, they advised her to stay away from the black side. But once Tommy Mottola said he was going to wreck her career, she had no problem embracing it then, and she seems to be all right now. I think that was more of her A&Rs and her people handling her.
But, you know, even with that, it's still she's made songs about that, you know, about her own personal to do with that, not being able to identify, not being able to fit in. You know, like I said, as far as the dating aspect, I kind of get it in the sense that, you know, this is something different. You're kind of trying to learn each other. But when you procreate, it's got to be hard, you know, having kids with two different heritages, you know, constantly being teased, going through society.
Why would they constantly? Well, I understand
I mean,
what you're
happens.
Saying, but I don't think that happens as much anymore.
I don't think it happens
period.
As much anymore, but it does happen.
I wanted to see, though, like, I see what you're saying, Candace. I do see what you're saying. Like, even though, yes, Barack Obama is a black man and we all know this or whatever, but if he's at what point because he's black man, black skin, everything like that, and it dominates or whatever, I'm saying what he's partially Caucasian. Partially he's Caucasian. Mm-hmm. So do he? I mean, when you look at him, you see black man. When you look at him,
then he's a black man.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But just because of his physical appearance, does that make him a black man?
We're talking about the law of formal genetics.
Right.
He's a black
man.
We
know that.
Okay.
If
we know that, we're talking about the law of formal genetics.
Okay.
He cannot be a black man and say, oh well, he's Caucasian. He's a black man. His mother is Caucasian, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. There's no slight. But the law of formal genetics states. You have a dominant gene. You have a recessive gene. You can get the you can get the recessive from the dominant, but you can't get the dominant from the recessive.
Right.
So, knowing the law of formal genetics, he's a black man. If that's just the way it is, I didn't set it up. That is just nature. I'm not trying to. I don't want you to think I'm coming off on some black supremacy thing. I'm talking about genetics. If me and a Korean woman make a baby, the baby's black. Sorry, that's the way it is. If a Korean woman and a white man make a baby, the baby's Korean. Sorry, that's how it is. I'm not talking about the country, but I'm saying Korean just for the sake of argument.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Asian. That's just how it is. If American Indian deals with a white person, he's an American Indian. Sorry, that's how it is. I didn't write the rules. That's just how it is. But I understand what you're saying about it could be difficult trying to walk between both cultures.
Right.
Now the joint heritage is what you're talking about having to deal with. But Barack Obama doesn't have to deal with not being black. He's black.
No,
he knows it.
Yeah.
Halle Berry knows it. That's another one,
Yeah. It's a myriad of people who, go through this. But I just don't.
Sammy Sosa thought he knew it and didn't, and look at what he did to himself. Right.
Yeah,
Michael Jackson didn't want to accept it. And matter of fact, I'm going to just throw this out there right now. Anybody out there who believed that Michael Jackson children, that he actually made them babies, you're a fool.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. People delude themselves into believing that Michael didn't adopt them kids
from Macaulay Culkin.
Whatever, right.
Right. But yeah.
Michael didn't have them kids. I don't care how Michael bleached his skin. I don't care that Michael shaved his nose off. I don't care that Michael pressed his hair or whatever. The fact of the matter is, if Michael made them babies, they all would have came out looking like little Michael Jackson from the Jackson 5. They would have had the nose, they would have had the afro, henceforth, and all of that.
You
can't shave your genetics. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, that don't mean he don't love the kids.
So
hey, he loved the kids. Evidently, they loved him. They say he's a great dad. I applaud him for that. But quit running around telling the lie that you made them babies. You didn't make them babies.
All right.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Yeah, that's what you were supposed to do. Eat the chips. But, I mean, I feel what you're saying about that. But that's just something that we want to talk on. Like, I'm curious as to know, we're all here. We're Truth Brothers. Has there ever came a time where you felt as if it was okay when somebody came at you with a racist remark? Because this happened to me. And I'm saying, has there ever been a time where it was okay to come back with a racist remark, or you felt like you should come back with a racist remark, and either you did or you didn't?
Right. I think a lot of people think that it's okay to do it. I think a lot of people feel like if someone comes at them with a racial remark, they're supposed to respond with one.
Right.
But as you start becoming more in the knowledge and rational, you can get back at them, or you can put them in their place without having to go there. But we got a caller. Hey, Tony, what's up? Tony?
Carla? All right.
Oh,
there we go.
We got it.
I'm sorry.
There we go.
I forgot I had you on mute because I'm working at the same time. No, it's not okay to come back, because then that makes you no better than the person that just spewed that racial remark. It makes you no better. A lot of times when those things are being said to you, and we have to look at it, is that, and I've had personal experiences behind this very issue.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of times when those racial remarks are made to you, they are coming from someone of the Caucasian descent. And a lot of times they do those things because they know that they can possibly even get away with it or make you act a fool. And that's what they want you to do, especially in the workplace. Go ahead,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit. And
okay.
When you said that when someone says something racial, it's usually a white person, I'm going to say in the new millennium, I'm not going to agree with that, only because we think we're living in this post-racial world.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking back when we was watching the slam dunk contest a couple of weeks ago, and Diddy got out there and was talking about how white men can't jump, and that was just, he looked like a damn fool. There was a radio contest, and someone had to give a joke to win these tickets for a radio contest, and a brother gets on there and says, I tried to teach my friend, my Mexican friend, to play basketball, and he kept kicking the ball through the net, which is just stupid. But
I see what you're saying.
And if you look at a lot of movies, I would say from the 90s till the day, if you look at them, a lot of black movies love to pit the black person against the Hispanic.
Against each other, right.
And you know,
right.
Another thing that I was going to say, I wanted to come out is, it's like now I feel more of us feel like it's okay for us to throw it out and people have to take it because, hey, look at what we are entitled to say racial slurs and nobody can say anything back to us. I feel like a lot of us feel like that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's not.
Right.
Racism is racism no matter how you try to hide it.
Right. And you know what? I agree with that. And the only reason why I brought that particular piece of topic as a response is because, like I've said, I've gone through that, and I'm going to try not to say too much because I have a case pending. But in a lot of ways, I agree with you where, you know, we seem to pit or be pit against each other. And that's because we've made that choice to use certain slurs, you know, and it's an awful thing. But personally, I have had the experience of a racial epithet being said to me on the workplace. Mm-hmm. And when I began to rise up against that and follow the rules of what they say I'm supposed to do, go to HR, you do all of these different things, then it becomes that they are not particularly on the side of the employee when they report these things.
Right.
At that point, you know, when I did inform HR through the steps that I'm supposed to take, then it became a lot worse for me. But no, it's not okay. And I don't believe that, you know, because I've heard a lot of people say to me, you know, after the fact and after they had been given knowledge of what was going on, they said, well, you should have just gone off. You should have just, you know, got in there shit about it, and you should have done this, this, and this. But I have to make people also remember that I was in a professional capacity.
Right.
That's exactly what they wanted me to do. They wanted me to react in that way, right? But with me not reacting in that way, then I was faced with other issues of retaliation. Being passed over for promotions and my annual reviews and things like that that had always been stellar now have become something else. So sometimes we have to really take a look at ourselves when these things happen because we can't actually stoop down to the level that they expect us to and come back and be just as bad as what they just caused to you.
Yep.
Exactly, because that's what they want you to do. But in my particular case, you know, and like I've always told even my son as he began to, you know, delve into the workforce and my cousins and nephews and nieces, you have to start to document. And a lot of people, you know, when we were coming up, you know, if our parents said, you need to write those things down and you need to keep track of what they're saying. You know, back then I was always there, right, whatever. But little did I know that that particular piece of advice that I had heard, you know, 20, 30 years ago would actually be my saving grace.
I hear that, Tony. Hey, listen, you know, Tony, we got to take a quick break, so hold that thought.
Ahead.
We're going to take our break, and we're going to come back and pick up where we left off.
Hold on. Stay there.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I'ma give it to ya with no trivia. Roll like cocaine straight from Bolivia. My hip hop will rock and shock the nation like the Emancipation Proclamation. We get seen a post with flame to set. Them other runners to the wall and bang your head. I put the force, my force is doubting. I make the devil's tower to the caucus mountain.
Well, I'm a sire. I set the microphone on fire. Rap styles vary and carry like Mariah. I come from the Shaolin slum and the Alan funk is coming through with enough guns. So if you wanna come sweating, stepping contest.
Truth Brothers Radio.
If you don't have an iPhone, I'd ask you what's wrong with you, but I already know.
you're poor, or a loser, or a person who doesn't care about technology, which means you're either poor or a loser. We didn't even make this commercial to sell you an iPhone. We made it to mock you for being one of the have-nots. We are the Sneetches with stars upon thars, and you are one of the regular Sneetches. If you don't have an iPhone, honestly, good. In your face. If you don't have an iPhone, frankly, go fuck yourself.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I keep the ass popping like the locks on the Benz. After the after party, we'll be getting it in. Pause for a drink, then we cutting again.
Truth Brothers are back with more on this topic. And again, we're going to tell you guys that the Truth Brothers will be moving April 2nd to Mondays. Starting April 2nd, we will be on Mondays, 7 p.m. Central Time. Hope you guys are ready. We're bringing something brand new, but still the same thing, if
that's
that
right.
Makes sense.
And we're still looking for volunteers to help us pack and drive the moving van.
That
so,
would be nice. Cause,
you
yeah.
know, give us a hand.
And I think, is Tony still on the line?
Oh, yes. I'm here.
All right, Tony. I do pick off to what you. We're gonna pick right back up with what you were just saying.
You know, I'm old. I don't ever remember from one topic to the next.
Yeah,
you
sound like
oh,
you know.
But what I was saying, but I'm working too. So what I was saying is that little did I know that keeping notes would actually be my saving grace.
Yeah.
Because it's
yep.
so hard to prove.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Real
it's
quick.
Always going. Mm-hmm.
You know, real quick, I want to just give people, you know, we're talking about racism, and everybody likes to call every little type of incident or anything that happens racist. Everything that happens to you isn't racist. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it could be you could be confronted with prejudice when you're being prejudged on a particular thing. But the national definition to racism is prejudice plus power.
Mm-hmm.
Prejudice plus power. That's the national definition of racism. And then you would have some people would argue that black people can't be racist. And when they're making that argument, they're talking about prejudice plus power. So they're saying that nothing I say can affect white people in housing. Nothing I say can affect white people in the stock market.
Right.
Well, that's actually starting to change. I mean, Barack Obama can wreck a whole market if he wanted to. So therefore, he could be racist.
That's right.
Interesting.
That's right.
So it's prejudice plus power. I mean, if I don't want to sit next to you in a theater, that's not racism. That's prejudice. If
right.
I want to prevent you from coming into my theater, that's racism.
Gotcha.
Right.
Very, very smooth.
Yeah. They're good.
It's like Coors beer.
But, Tony, I can totally identify with what you're talking about. I actually went through the same thing. But the funny thing about it is the person I went through it with was my human resources director, superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
He was human resources, and he was African-American.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and it just floored me, you
Which,
know.
Oh, yeah.
Where he inadvertently... You know, called me, you know, outside of my name. The name
Regan.
Was Regan.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to make an analogy, not saying it, but enough to suggest what he was saying.
Like, is there watermelon
right.
in the back or something?
No,
I mean, like, seriously, like, was it like, because I know
no.
I got a, no, seriously, I have a friend, you know, and they consider them being so outspoken. As it's not saying that they're not racist or they're not prejudiced. It's just they're outspoken. Like they would
right.
they would categorize a person by what the race would do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
right.
they consider that as being, you know, I'm not racist or prejudiced.
Right.
I'm just saying, hey, if like she,
I'm putting it out there.
Right. Like a person, she would say every time she would see a Mexican, she would be like, I want a taco. Like that would pop in her head because
right.
wow.
and that's racist.
Yeah, that's what
you
I would
say what she wants.
I was saying that
but, I get what she's saying. Here's a question for you. Is a comedian like Don Rickles racist?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good question.
Really? You say, oh, yeah.
I would,
let me ask
know.
You this.
Oh, yeah.
Is Sarah Silverman racist?
That was
going to
be... It's amazing that you think, because I was just about to say that.
She's edgy.
Yeah, exactly.
She's edgy. She puts it there. And if you think she's racist, then it's Dave Chappelle racist.
I would say yes.
You think Dave Chappelle is racist?
Yes, but see, the thing that cloaks it is his comedy. He cloaks it in, you know, in his jokes. And
let me ask a question.
Really? Is true, Dave Chappelle?
Besides the white black brother.
Oh, Lord! This racism is killing me inside.
So,
I wouldn't call Dave Chappelle
racist. My question is, when is truth racist, though?
Exactly. To me, he's a social commentator. Sarah Silverman is a social commentator. Bill Maher is a social commentator. I think if you're calling something out for what it is.
That's exactly my point.
If you're calling something out for what it is, I don't think that's racist.
But if you're making something up.
Now, the dude from Seinfeld losing it on stage, that's different.
Yeah, that's totally different.
That is totally different.
That was my whole point of saying that.
How much blame can we place on media for people being racist?
You know what?
Media sets the tone.
Well, exactly.
You have to look at it as what is allowed, you know, by the networks. When you're talking about
media pushes the image of certain races being villains.
That's
so
right.
that they're
mm-hmm.
pushing that toward you. So
That's
now
right.
you're not going to pick up a book and research it. You're just going to go off somebody told me. It's called television programming for a reason. It's telling your vision and programming it like this has to be true. I saw it on TV.
Right.
So
remember, Bill Maher said in one of his episodes, he was saying something that. You know, ADT actually wants to put a black guy on there for robbing the house, but they know they can't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
But subliminally, when you see the commercial and they walk in, you might see the robber as Caucasian, but they know that most people see him as black.
Exactly.
Whether they're looking at him or not.
Right.
And this is not to say that, you know, that we have a bad rap or whatever the case may be. We're just putting facts out there that. A lot of times, the wrong. I was shocked to find out that we aren't the black people in general aren't the ones who are the biggest crime committers though. We aren't.
No, you're just the
no, we're
you're
not.
Just the
just
one incarcerated.
Statistically, no, we're not. Because when you look at statistics, we are still a minority,
and we
make up 12%. Of the United States, or actually the nationwide, and there's no way that we can be statistically the highest crime committers.
And
there's
the thing about it is, to go back to what you said about being incarcerated, yes, we are. There are more black people in jail than there were slaves. So that's I read that, but I'm just saying again,
because there was more than a million slaves, and roughly a million. I think you got a million men incarcerated. Period. I don't know what percentage is actually black, but it's a very high percentage.
And to finish off my statement, though, I was talking in crimes in general. Now you have low ball crimes. You got high ball crimes. And as far as crimes, we are not the biggest crime committers. That's what I meant for people who wouldn't
mm-hmm.
understand what
right.
I was saying.
But like she said, statistically, you
that's,
only pick
that's
up
a, right.
12% of the population.
The commission of crime is a different statistic when you're talking about the number of incarcerated blacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different number.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to find that when we were talking about it, but I think I'm kind of slow at the punch right now.
I know, we messing up your work. You're supposed to be working. You're playing with
don't
brothers.
Want them coming in calling you out your name or nothing. But
I'm working on the show. I haven't had to go to a job in 2 years. So
must be nice. Wow.
Your name
Thank
must be.
You. We feel so much better.
Hell no, it's boring as hell.
That's what Your name must be Tony Stark, not Bree Love. But we got to take another quick break, Tony. We'll be back with more Truth Brothers Radio.
All right.
Brothers and sisters! Brothers and sisters! I don't know what
this world is coming
to Truth Brothers Radio. Brothers Radio.
The following is a real-life simulated conversation between an on-call advisor and a subscriber. It took place on October 2nd, 2005.
On-call emergency, this is Rita speaking. How can I help you?
Yeah, listen, my car is stuck in a ravine and I am freaking out.
I've put in a request for emergency assistance. In the meantime, your car is equipped with the Trunk Monkey feature. Please push the red button.
Okay, done. He's taken off my shoes.
Yes, sir. The Trunk Monkey is there to help.
Okay. He's licking me. He's licking my leg. All right, stop that!
He's trained to give you emotional support during this stressful time.
By licking me? Down, monkey!
The Trunk Monkey. He'll do anything he can to help. An innovative idea you'll only find at Suburban Auto Group.
Are you still there?
Yes, stop, monkey, stop. I take him out. Stop, monkey. Oh, that feels so good. No, that feels bad. No, stop, please.
Come to Suburban Auto Group for a surprising car buying experience and free Trunk Monkey gear, located off Highway 26 on the way to Sandy.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Something is wrong.
Brothers and sisters, welcome back to Truth Brothers, the last half hour where we're talking about racism.
That's right. And you know what? I love that bumper right there, because to me it crystallizes what we're talking about completely.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people who may not know, that's Minister Farrakhan that is on that little quote there. But again, when you were talking about media and how much are they responsible for racism, well, they paint Minister Farrakhan as an anti-Semitic racist at every turn they get, but you never get a quote like we just gave you, or you never get something where what he talked about nothing to do with anybody's race. He's telling you the situation in America against the weak and the poor, period, yeah. across
right.
the board.
Right.
And people don't understand. Yeah, I'm a black nationalist, but I know that what I do to help my people will help everybody else. When people fought for affirmative action and fought for civil rights, it helped people across the board.
It
didn't
sure.
help just black people. But when you're fighting a fight and taking up for your people, in principle, you're helping everybody else if you believe in the mm-hmm. principles that you say you're fighting for.
True.
Mm-hmm. True.
Principles are colorblind.
That's right.
True.
Right.
My only thing with media is there are so many stereotypes toward, you know, Latinos, African Americans, you know, Indian.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
red dot Indian.
But
you know,
like I just said, if they're gonna make a character meet on television, I'm gonna be the angry black man that
right.
hates all white people. When I just told you, when look at how they try to portray the
you
Black
know
Panthers. The Black Panthers
yeah.
had to
right.
be black, black racists. No, Black Panthers work with a lot of white organizations.
They
work with a lot of Latino organizations
right.
across mm-hmm. the board.
That's why it was
and
called.
They gave you the school. They gave you the school breakfast program, which got imitated
right.
across the nation. So the principles
right.
that they stood for helped everybody.
And that's why they said power.
Well,
to
see,
the people,
and that's all. Yeah, that's always
people.
Right. That's always going to be a misconception of the Black Panther movement because, as you just mentioned, you know, they were there taking care of some of the social issues that the federal government had been sleeping on for many
mm-hmm.
years, you know,
exactly.
to make sure that blacks had hot meals and the children
problems.
Had child care, when all of these particular programs were not something that the federal government was taking care of at that time. So mm-hmm. they were feeding communities not of just blacks, but whites were also being fed in those
mm-hmm.
programs.
Yeah.
So a lot
mm-hmm.
of people don't know that. And just because the term black And panther is associated as being something of black, you know, male of color, and panther is supposed to be a power. That was basically taken as by many people, especially whites, that it was a bad thing, that we were trying to be overpowering, that we were trying to show our proneness, you know, to cause and this was, particular stereotype. It was a scare tactic.
That you mentioned that, though, Tony, because I was about to ask, when did, and it's not like the Panthers were pro back, they were pro every color, but why has it become a point where it's being pro-black makes you racist?
Because it's the way the society plays against that. Look, when you talk about fighting against the power structure or the government or the society is represented by white people for the most part.
Well, you have a vision of believing it. Okay,
well, no, right. I'm just saying, when you talk about the founding fathers, when you talk about the backstabbing, those were all initiated by the whites in the society. So when you're talking about fighting against injustice, you're mainly talking about the people that's in power. When you talk about the 1%, yes, there's a lot of rich black people. But when you talk about the 1%, and you talk about rich people, you're talking about a white power structure in general.
Yeah, the fat cat. No, right. Yeah, we understand right. that.
That's exactly what you're right. talking about. So,
but you know, but blacks are always going to be thought of as the race that's going to be that's angry. Always going to have that that angry undertone. You know, and it's not something that has just happened. I mean, because, you know, blacks were brought over into this country because we were thought of as being tribal, as wild, as untamable, as animals. So nothing has changed. Nothing has truly changed about what we're viewed as, because that's why, you know, they've got all of these things set up even in places, you know, that say, okay, well, we've got this structure that, you know, if you feel that you've been discriminated against, then, you know, you need to come to us. Or they've got, you know, these tolerance type programs set up on the job place and things like that. And that's just only as an appeasement so that we feel that, you know, we're recognized and, you know, somebody's going to do something for us the moment that something goes wrong. But nothing has changed. Trust me, it hasn't changed.
I think when you're dealing with that, people got to learn to differentiate between the individual and the collective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on my job and I work. See, the thing is, when I'm on my job and I'm working next to my desk is next to this other person and he's white and we've been working together for 5 years and we get along great. That's because me and him are co-acting as individuals. And soon as work is over and we get in our cars and we go back into our neighborhoods and our homes, now we start seeing what is presented as the collective. And collective stereotypes is what you have to break. When they tell you that black people, when they tell you the welfare queen, and your image that comes up is a black woman in a project that's collecting a check without doing anything, when the majority of people on welfare are white. When Bill Maher last week ran this little segment where they went to Mississippi and they was asking them why won't they vote for Mitt Romney or why they don't like Obama, and they kept giving these vague generalizations and kept talking about voting against their own interests.
Exactly.
Mississippi is the poorest state in America, and they vote against programs that would help them because in their minds all they see is that we're getting it. And they don't want they don't understand what helps one helps everybody.
Everybody.
And if you're committed to just helping people, again, they tell you Minister Farrakhan is racist. But if you're laying there bleeding in the street, I know Minister Farrakhan will go out there to help you regardless of who you are.
Right.
Again, Minister Farrakhan will tell you, I don't have anything against the Jewish people. If I caught someone spray painting on a synagogue, I would put my life on the line to stop that.
but they don't want to hear that because they want what the message that
they're trying to trick the image that they want you to have. Like, yeah, he did something good, but he's still this. Like, you know, that's it's always been like that with any of the leaders that they didn't like.
Right.
They always
tell you the Black Panthers were racist, but you know, John Lennon and Huey P. Newton were tight. Yeah. Matter of fact, John Lennon got into the problems that he did with his immigration because of his association with the Panther Party.
Which goes to say, like, this isn't about one race against another race. It isn't about that. It's more like I said, Barack Obama wouldn't have been in office if it wasn't for white people voting for him as well.
Exactly.
So
it's
not about race. So for us, and not just us, but for people, like a lot of times we take everything as, oh, this happened at the job. Let's get Jesse and Al Sharpton down here to get some ruckus started. No, it's everything does not cause for you to bring Jesse and Al into this. It's something.
Right.
Some things like Gina Six, yes. The dude at your job calling you N word, no. That's it's no.
But
need
don't
to,
you
to
think?
Blow.
But then that goes back to, and I've said this on my show a lot, is that, you know, we as Black people, we always look for someone else to come in and be on that white horse and save us from ourselves, really. Mm-hmm. And it all has to do and stem with the fact that you have to be educated on every facet of your own life, in everything that you do, in every portion of your life, whether it has to be in your family life, on the job, whether it's social, no matter what the instance is, you have to take control and you have to be educated on what you need to do. Jesse Jackson and all of these other folks, they, you know what, I'm all for whatever they're campaigning to do to help Blacks. I am. But sometimes, and like you said, their being there is going to probably cause you more problems than what it's worth if it doesn't work out in your favor.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you need to be proactive in your own life and in your own rights, your own civil rights. Because if these people have set up a system for you to actually take advantage of, if someone calls you the N-word, if someone sexually harasses you, if someone does anything that is out of sorts, as far as the laws are set up, then you need to get on your job and do what you need to do to take care of it. That's why they're attorneys.
Yeah.
That's why that's why there's a court system set up.
Yeah.
So we can't always depend on other people to come and help us out of our situations when those particular things that are set up, they're set up for you, but you have to educate yourself in order to take advantage of them. That's
another,
the point.
Yeah, another thing that people have to start realizing is you've got to learn how to make a stand on principles. You got to know the principles for which you stand for, because that's why if you see everything as racist, as this, that, because you don't get your way, if you don't have any underlying principles, you won't understand the meaning to anything out here.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a lot of people think, if you think that white people are racist, or if you think that that most white people is out to put you down, then how do you explain the Occupy movement?
Mm-hmm.
See, the Occupy movement is out there trying to stop companies, trying to stop banks from foreclosing on people's homes. It don't matter whose home it is.
Right.
It's the fact that people are getting ripped off to begin with.
And
a lot of those young white kids out there that got pepper sprayed and getting maced are out there fighting on a particular principle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of black people had problems with that.
The thing about it is, because black, I don't want to speak in all or in a mass, but I think that a lot of black people didn't go down there because they saw white people standing up for something like, well, we don't need to join that.
I don't think they educated. They were,
you know,
they
don't think they
about
were aware.
As a
exactly.
Whole.
That's what
you know,
think.
That goes to a whole lot of other facets, too.
That's which going to be to my point that I was going to say that they're not educated because they saw, I don't think they, like a lot of times we don't, a lot of us don't join things or get on board for things because what another color might be doing with them. They might like a dude like a race. Black people, certain black people, be like, oh man, that's a white sport. Like a lot of black people won't. They could be great at hockey, But a lot of people won't try because that's a white sport. And they might have looked at the Occupy movement as a white movement and just said, I'm not going to touch it. Instead of, like Ray said, being aware of the principles of everything that they were trying to do behind it.
Right. And it all keeps stemming back to educating yourself, you know. Sure. And I liked the point, and I'm not sure if it was Devon that it made the point and made the differentials between racism and whether or not some, you know, whether it's that you're being attacked, if it's discrimination or racism. That's it's an excellent point, because a lot of people, they think that just because, you know, you don't get your way or things aren't set up the way that you would have them, that now you're being discriminated against or it's racism. They're totally different things. You know, but again, you know, it's what you said about the Occupy movement. You didn't see a lot of blacks out there because of that. They thought that, you know, that was a white thing. No, it's not a white thing. Those people are out there trying to save the homes that you're staying in.
Right.
You know, they're trying to make sure that, you know, you're not paying these astronomical bank fees. You know, that you're not being sold a dream which you have no grasp on. So, you know, and it all stems back to, are we educating ourselves in the areas that we need to,
I think we believe in a lot of times that us not being aware, somebody else will take care of it. Like, we don't have to go down there and occupy. Other people will take care of it. And we want to reap the rewards of another person's struggle, which is, I feel a lot of times that we in ourselves, we're more racist because we believe the stereotypes that are put on us. I believe a lot of times more
subliminally.
Racist. I mean, not racist, but I mean, I believe we believe more
subliminally of what.
Well, yeah, again, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I
agree with that.
Society and the media and all that come into play, because you're getting this constant reinforcement.
Exactly. That's
you're not supposed to want to do anything.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think it's socioeconomical. I think, you know, it's the schools that your kids are going to, the neighborhoods that you live in.
Well, as you're going into that, everybody out there who's listening to us, check out a book called The ISIS Papers by Dr. Frances Quest Welsing.
Yeah,
and
I've read
will
that.
Put down to you that racism is nothing more than white supremacy, and the structure of white supremacy is embedded in every aspect of your life, from war to religion to entertainment. It's hidden in everything. Again, when we were talking about The Help last week, when we were talking about these movies, there was so much white supremacy layered into that movie. Again, when you've got a scene where you've got the lady affirming positive reinforcement to the white baby, and then in the next scene you got him saying to the black kid, "Oh, what you got that book for?
You can't read.
Uh-huh. That's white supremacy.
It's all cryptic.
I mean,
and with that being said,
it's like it goes not beyond that. It's just we keep getting the stigma of, oh, you're supposed to sell drugs and you're supposed to shoot one another. You're supposed to do this. But what I mean is, a lot of our entertainers, and like if your child looks up to an entertainer, why are you letting him look at the entertainer who's telling your kid, yeah, you're supposed to go outside and wear the tight jeans and shoot the club up? Why are you allowing that to be done?
We brought that up before. I mean, why is it that Rick Ross is held to more love in the black community than KRS-One? It's a reason for that.
It's not even. It's like, why is Rick Ross held to a higher degree than a teacher? Like,
well, period.
Any, I mean,
but
yes,
we're talking
saying.
About.
Right.
I was talking about entertainer for entertainer.
Right.
You got one positive who's trying to rape, who's trying to grow you, and you got someone who's selling you that negative reinforcement.
Right.
Why is it more entertainment dollars going to him than the other guy?
And the thing, and that's my point. Like, I don't understand why
to perpetuate the mental
Rick Ross is black
people to be.
Right. Rick Ross isn't the one putting himself out there. You have a bigger company saying, yeah, shove more Ross out there.
Exactly.
Now, who owns this company?
Exactly.
Who's saying, yeah, give him more
it's
Ross?
It's not the people who look like Rick Ross.
Exactly.
It's not them.
He looks more like Warren Buffett. That's who he looks like.
They get to push their agenda to those kids who will eat it up, who soak it up. You know, I have a 14-year-old. And my 14-year-old likes to listen to the music that they play today. You know, I know she goes to school with kids. She hears it all the time. you know, but when you try to break down, you know, and get the answers as to why do you like it, I don't know.
You always get that.
Yeah, as you say that, the dangerous reinforcement is, look at the message that Rihanna is sending to all these kids getting back with Chris Brown. That whole underlining reinforcement. Yeah, he beat me up or whatever, but it's cool. I'm going to get back with him. And you know, when you talk to kids about, well, why would you like Chris Brown? He beat women. He didn't beat me.
You know what? The thing about that is, though, I wanted to say something, though, to that. And part of trying to be around and just play another side, maybe it's a sign of people can change. And on top of that, it would help more if Chris started doing things to show he's changing.
That's how you know he didn't.
Right. We know that. But I'm just saying, like, if Chris was doing things.
With that song I heard the other day?
Yeah, the birthday cake song or whatever, I totally agree. But if Chris was doing things to show, yeah, I'm changed, I have changed, him getting back, Rihanna getting back with Chris Brown wouldn't have such a effect
as
it does.
If she had enough self-esteem to say, well, show me that you changed.
No, she
we didn't
she,
go through anything.
She likes, the thing is, she likes what most little girls like on a guy now, and that's the swag. They like the swag of this guy. They don't care if he's intelligent or whatever. They are more attracted to a guy's swag. Mm-hmm. But we got to take another quick break. We'll be right back with more Truth Brothers Radio and this topic here. Truth Brothers Radio.
You can tell me alarm, you can call out your dog, you can fence in your yard, you can pull out a car, but I won't back down. Oh no, I won't back down. Oh no.
Cadillacs the bills, coop the bills, brains, head, rims, yeah, stupid whales, girl, I'm super real, lose it, super nail, try to fight it, try to deny it, stupid, you will fail.
Truth Brothers Radio.
If you join the Army, you'll get an education unlike any other. Every single day, people will try and kill you. That'll teach you lessons you'll never learn in school. Improvised explosive devices, snipers, suicide bombers. That's why there's never been a better time to enlist. In the Navy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now them poor grunts are eating sand in the 130-degree heat. We're catching cool breezes on the big ships, learning mad skills, and getting some.
Oh.
That's right. Navy's co-ed, baby. Our lady sailors bathe every day.
Oh.
In co-ed showers.
Oh.
I ain't lying. Hell, out here with the big guns, we can practically guarantee you won't die. Unless you party too hard. Call your Navy recruiter today. We'll pay for college, and it won't cost you an arm and a leg. Navy. Because joining the Army is just stupid.
Truth Brothers Radio.
This is something like the Holocaust. Millions of our people lost. Bow heads and pray for the Lord.
Black, black bras, whole lot of money in a black bag, black strap, you know what that's for.
Truth Brothers Radio, and we're back with the last half of Truth Brothers.
Real quick, let me say something real fast. That was a song by Jay-Z and Kanye called Watch the Throne, called Murder to Excellence. People need to listen to the back part of that song. It's a verse after that, that we're right around the ending part, that if you listen to what Jay-Z is saying, he's kind of touching on what we're saying today.
Right.
But just putting that out there, 818-514-1202,
right.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Yep, and again, we know that a lot of people are out there taking a listen, and we definitely appreciate and love you guys listening. Hey, don't be afraid to call the Truth Brothers, 818-514-1202. We know you're putting your comments in on Facebook, but don't be afraid to pick up that phone and call. I know for a lot of our listeners, this will be a new experience.
Right.
We'll make it fun for you, trust me.
And especially with us making this move to Mondays starting April 2nd at 7 p.m. Central Time, we definitely want to get a lot of people to, you know, I know Mondays is the day you want to come home, unwind, and everything like that. So just go ahead, tune the two Truth Brothers in on your Mondays and just enjoy
it. Talk about on Tuesday.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
Enjoy it and get some laughs and learn some at the same time. So, again, just remember, though, we're not this Monday or nothing, people. Monday starting April 2nd at 7 p.m. Central Time.
All right.
Yeah.
And wrapping up this thing on racism, we got to keep in mind, I can't emphasize enough on principles is what's important. When I deal with a person, when I deal with people, I deal with you on principle.
True.
And that's because, I mean, no one lives in a vacuum. If you believe that all you're going to deal with for the rest of your life is black people, you're probably going to be wrong. If you believe that you're going to deal with only white people the rest of your life, you're wrong. You got to understand and know how to operate in different worlds. One of the things I learned about being in the military was getting that travel, getting that world experience, and learning how to break bread with people across the globe. And I found that exciting and fun, and I knew I had enough knowledge of myself and knowledge of my culture to be able to sit down with anybody and have pride within myself.
Right. And the thing about it is, it's about wanting to be around success. And if you, I believe that a lot of times we hang around people because you don't know how to separate the negativity from the positive. And even if you do, you choose negative, which negative begets negative. So why are you sitting there associating yourself with a person who can be negative? And it's not, again, it's not a color thing. It's definitely not a color thing. It's just saying, if you want to be successful, hang around successful people. We were just talking about golf earlier. So if you want to be a great golfer, and I'm really talking about golf here, why wouldn't you hang out with, if I'm a black man, I wouldn't have no problem hanging out with Phil Mickelson.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? If he's a great golfer,
right,
it's not about his color. He's a great golfer. I would hang with Tiger Woods, but I'm just saying,
right,
Phil Mickelson is the number one golfer in the world. So I'm not just going to go to Tiger, even though Tiger's great. I'm not going to just run him, oh, man, I have to hang with Tiger because he's black. No, I mean, if he's the best golfer in the world, why wouldn't I talk to Phil Mickelson?
And then when you have that Fuzzy Zeller experience where you come across somebody who is ignorant, racist, and says that off-the-cuff thing to you, you don't have to stoop to his level. You got to be of the superior mindset to put him in his place using your knowledge.
Yes. And the thing about it is, you can still, like you were saying, you can still have knowledge of self, you can still have intelligence and know who you are and hang around any race. That's what's important.
Yeah.
Just know yourself, have your knowledge of yourself, know that you, who you are, where you come from, and this is everybody.
Okay. Okay, well, let me ask y'all this. I'm going to give you a quick question, real quick. You're in a banquet hall. You're in a banquet hall. We about to win an award for the best radio show ever in life, and it's a room full of white people, and there's a plate of there's a bucket of chicken over there. Do you go get the chicken?
I like chicken. Will they?
What else are they serving?
They got a bucket of chicken, but would you go get the chicken?
I'm going to be honest. It depends on what's out there. It depends on what I feel. Now, I can go over there and get the chicken if I want to. It's about how I portray myself when I eat the chicken.
Right. Would you
if
be
I'm
self-conscious
a lady,
about the
am
chicken?
Am I a lady to sit down with a knife and fork and cut my chicken? Or am I going to be ghetto with it and grab it with my fingers and...
I don't know.
Now I can use a watermelon. You know, it all depends on, you know,
how you
play
carry
yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, but my thing is, I would definitely. I would definitely go back to saying I would eat the chicken simply because I like chicken. There is no reason for me to. I want to say put on a facade that I'm not going to eat the chicken strictly
because I'm
around Caucasian people.
If I want the chicken, I'm gonna eat the chicken.
Right. That's just. I mean, I know what I like.
Right. But then again, I've been in the United Center. And there's been a whole 40,000 people in the place packed, and I won't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. So,
yeah.
Hey.
Does that make you not American?
No. That makes me.
There you go. I ain't mad at you for that. So, but the True Brothers have to get ready to wrap up the show. We just want to send out first off, thank you to everybody for listening. We really appreciate that.
You too,
we love
Tony.
Tony, thank you for calling in and listening as well. Again, she has that show to her Hot Talk Starboard Radio. Thank yous to Rockstar Games, the Ad Council, Adam Thinks, Suburban Auto, and Ebum's World.
Very good. And thank you to everybody out there listening. You got any thank
you? Thank you to you guys. Another great show this week, you know, and looking forward to many, many more. And also, just as a last reminder to everybody, we're moving to Mondays, April 2nd, 7 to 9 p.m.
And I'm going to tell you like this, if you're not listening to the Truth Brothers,
then the truth ain't in you.
Peace.
Two fingers.
Peace.
Truth Brothers Radio.